Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
All right, guys, how's everyone going? Welcome to this week's episode of the Snugcast. You're joined, as always, by me, Owen Tab, with my buddy, DJ. DJ, what's the crack?
Jeez, I was muted there for some reason. Yeah. I was just about to launch into a tirade, and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm muted. What's the crack? Crack is good. Been a good week. Good week all around. My highlight of the week, before we get stuck into the podcast, has been our newfound nicknames for where we buy beer now that the pubs are closed. So people, regular listeners to the podcast will be familiar with the Plinth in World Wide Wines. I think Grady's Yard is the wall of greatness. Or not great, sorry, the Argeen Stores is just the wall of mystery, I'm going to call it. That fridge.
I like
all
it.
All the different beers laid out in it. It's the wall of mystery. And now we have, Grady's Yard is so beautiful, we were trying to think of something, and it's just, I've called it the canvas.
Because nice.
It's like a canvas painting, oil painting. It's so fucking beautiful when you walk in, the way the fridges are laid out, but the taps are still illuminated. So it still has that pub feel when you go in buying cans.
It's actually pretty, it's too tantalizing, I think. Like, you're going in there and, you know, you're buying a few cans and stuff for your weekend and looking forward to bringing them home. But there's that just open the pubs, like open the bars. That's what I want, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I want in this life anymore.
And there's nearly too much choice. I get really frustrated as well. And in honor of today's guest today, when I went in to look at the canvas, I immediately said, no, like, usually we are big advocates of local independently brewed beer here in Ireland. But I was like, no, I'm going to get some local independent, well, not local, obviously. I'm going to get some independent craft beer from the opposite side of the pond. I'm going to go over and get some American beer. So I was like, yeah, we've got a great fucking guest lined up this week. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to get some great American beer to match our super guest.
Yeah, so we're recording at 11 p.m. here, and our guest, who is Jose Ruckus, a.k.a. the number one Wild Aces fan and host of the Ace is Wild podcast, is joining us from San Francisco. Is it San Fran?
So I live about 3 hours north of San Francisco. I'm from, I'm basically from Chico, California.
Cool. So, man, how are you getting on?
I'm having a great month. I'll tell you what, man, it's been crazy.
Fuck. So I suppose I'll say how I got into Jose and how I got into his podcast. So there's this thing called the SCF, which we're going to go into in a while. And Jose has a podcast from one of the teams in this, the Wild Aces, and I've been listening to it. And man, I am so impressed. Like, the quality of stuff that you have on this podcast, the guests you've gotten are ridiculous. Like, you must be absolutely pinching yourself with the guests that you've been getting.
It's been so crazy, man, because initially when I started the podcast, you know, I just figured, you know, maybe some of the Kind of Funny best friends, which I know you are, and like, because they own one of the teams in the FCF that we're doing the podcast for, I was like, maybe, you know, some of these guys will tune in and it'll be a chance for me to just kind of goof around and do a fun football show because I love football so much. And then almost immediately after putting it out, Greg from Kind of Funny retweets it, tells everybody to go sub to the pod. Jackson Erdman, the quarterback for the Wild Aces, says he wants to come on the show. And it's just been this immediate, like, just rocket shooting up. And I have no idea what I'm doing.
That is insane. That is so cool. Normally, Jose, on this show, we kind of normally start off with a What Are You Drinking Tonight segment. So as DJ was saying, that we've been kind of we're going on the American buzz tonight. So I'm drinking a beer called Death by Coconut, and it's an Irish style porter brewed with coconut and chocolate, and it's by these Oscar Blues Brewery, and it's based in Austin, Texas. So that's pretty cool. And it's really really nice. Like, I'm always so impressed with the American beers. I suppose you guys have had the craft beer scene over in in the States for years and years. And it's literally kind of just kicked off in Ireland, but there's been this explosion in Ireland. And we've like kind of mixed a lot of your like West Coast IPAs and things like that, and like taking those. So it's awesome here. Like, you know, obviously we're very renowned for our Guinness and stuff over here, but like it's cool having this like explosion of flavors and stuff over here. So Jose, what are you drinking? I saw you grabbed a little can.
Yeah, so I'm drinking the 805 Cerveza. This is a newer beer from I don't know exactly how big they are. Firestone Walker is the brewery. They've been getting really big here in Northern California because they are somewhat local.
Oh, he's on it. He's
Firestone, there you go, man.
Oh.
Yeah, cool. This is about 2 hours away from me or so. They're really popular here, but they just came out with, because this area has a pretty high Mexican population, myself being half Mexican and stuff, we like our a little lime in our beer every now and then. So this is the 805 that they normally do. It's sort of their regular, I think it's a blonde ale, but it's brewed with a little bit of lime to it. And I like it quite a bit.
Class, that's really cool, man. Yeah. And DJ, you just put up Firestone to the camera. So what are you drinking tonight?
That's incredible. Because
that's insane.
When Jose said California, I was like, oh my God, I'm on a Californian beer. Firestone Walker Brewing Company. Amazing. I picked this up in a fridge in Waterford, Ireland, just today. It's their Nitro Merlin Milk Stout. And it's an incredible milk stout because, you know, milk stouts tend to be quite creamy, but it's actually got a kind of oatmealiness to it that's really fucking nice. It's not a Guinness, the Murphy's, or a Beamish that we'd be familiar with here. It is a nitro stout, but it's got a lot more character to it. It's really, really nice. And it's 5.5%, so like there's a lovely kick to it. But what I love as well, which is probably like tying in with the theme of this week's podcast, speaking about FCF and some competition, there's the greatest thing I've ever seen on the top of a can here. It's going to be mirror view, so you won't be able to property, but it says beer before glory at the top of the can, which I think that should be the new
tagline of this
catchphrase for the Wild Laces.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be the name of the podcast, beer before glory. Yeah, so if there's ever going to be an FCF beer crossover podcast, I think Beer Before Glory is a good shout. But I actually had that can just before we started recording, and I also went on. I'm having a Left Hand Brewing from Colorado, which actually Jose did. Our logo is two Left Hand Brewing from Colorado Nitro Pints clinking glasses. So I've got their Death Before Disco Porter, which is a very, very nice porter as well. It's kind of like a dark porter. It's quite interesting. Very different from what we would see here with like Jan Arati from Kinnegar and those kind of porters. So two top-notch American beers that I got in Grady's Air today. And you know what? We do champion Irish beer here always, but it's actually great to branch out and try some American beers, because the standard of independent brewing is worldwide. It's set in the US, I think. So yeah, it's been great to have a great guest on from the US, because it allows us to branch out.
Awesome, thanks, DJ. So we've kind of been talking about FCF. We've mentioned what FCF. We actually haven't mentioned what FCF is. We've just been saying how great it is there at the start of the podcast. But what FCF is? It's a branch of American football. So before we actually go into the bones of what FCF is, I'd like to go around the table and go, guys, what's your history with American football? So obviously us Irish guys are going to have less of a history with American football because it's not our number one sport. So DJ, what about you? What's your history with American football?
I actually have quite a long history with it, because around the time I was 14, 15, you know, you get to that age where, you know, if you're on your holidays from school, you don't have school or you have like a Monday off or you've got a chance at the weekend. We were lucky. We actually had sports channels that showed American sports at home. And I got to that age where, like, you know, my folks would go to bed and I'd stay up watching the TV. So I just started watching American football. The first game I ever saw, I can remember it now, because for a while I was like a Philadelphia Eagles fan, because the first game I ever saw was the Eagles against, I think it was the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not certain. But all I remember is who was the really quick wide receiver that the Eagles had? DeSean Jackson, was it?
DeSean Jackson, yeah. So fast.
Yeah, yeah. He was so fast, but he caught this pass in the first game I ever watched. And he was like 40 yards ahead of everyone. And he started showboating, doing the long strides before he got to the line. And he tossed the ball up in the air, but he was at the 1 yard line. So he hadn't actually scored the touchdown.
Such a
and
legendary play. Tossed the ball
in the air. That's the first game I ever watched. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I was trying to figure out the rules. Have never seen this before. And next thing I see this guy do this. And I'm like, why is everybody going mad? Like, what's he done? And the thing is, I think like Irish sport and even British sport at that stage hadn't been fantasizing or fanatically looking at every angle of every replay of every action in a game. And I think that level of analysis really like was already embedded in American sports at that stage. So it was just, it was like a whole novel sporting experience. And I became absolutely obsessed. And I really liked the Eagles for a while, but they were so shit. And like they had Donovan McNabb. And every year it was like, oh, this is the Eagles year and fly Eagles fly, all this stuff. And then they were shit. And I was like, fuck it. Like, what am I doing supporting these guys? So I went to Florida one summer, and the day I landed in Florida was the whole like Brett Favre coming out of retirement to go back and play with the Minnesota Vikings. So I've been a Vikings fan ever since then. And if I thought supporting the Eagles was bad, supporting the Vikings must be the war. Like, I mean, at least the Browns have always just been perennially shit. Like, they've never had any hope. Whereas like the Vikings could have the best team. They could be 50 points up with 2 minutes to go and they still managed to like lose and get knocked out. So
yeah, you really made a lateral move there, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm the king of lateral moves. I never move forward. So yeah, and the thing is like even, you know, I've had a long relationship with it. I mean, I've got some brilliant memories of staying up watching that Super Bowl between the Steelers and the Cardinals and really wanting Larry Fitzgerald to win because I just thought he was amazing. And, you know, they do Sports Center. We used to get to watch these things, but we used to see these little mini YouTube clips would come out. So this is like before you had YouTube on your phone even. We'd be in college and looking up YouTube clips and looking at Sports Center. And they used to do this like fantasy player kind of trick play stuff, but it was an everyday stuff. So like, I think Marshawn Lynch ran and dived through a moving car, and like, but
Larry was absolutely ridiculous.
Suspended from his ankles. He was suspended from his ankles upside down. And you know that ball launcher? They were using the ball launcher to like launch American footballs at him. He was upside down and he was catching them one-handed. And I was like, I just, the athleticism, the skill level, I just couldn't believe it. And like, oh, and we're huge fans of like Last Chance U on Netflix and shows like this. So for me, like, oh, and you've only introduced me to FCF in the last week. To have this novel medium and this perfect integration of what is a spectacular sport with spectacular athletes and combining it with streaming media and stuff like this is really, really exciting. I'm actually like so buzzing to get fucking into this new way of doing it in all the sport.
That's awesome history. And like TJ, actually, because I'll go on to me now, like, because I suppose I have a kind of a similar enough history. Went over to visit like friends of my parents in Boston in 1998. And like got a load of like Patriots gear and stuff off them. So then became like a Patriots fan off the back of that. So I obviously chose right with my team for that reason. But yeah, like again, as DJ was saying, like we would have always just kind of got those kind of clips, or like you'd be kind of lucky enough sometimes to catch the red zone, and you'd like get all those plays and those highlights and stuff coming in, which was great. But also, I suppose, in terms of like British and Irish sport, you're talking about like 90 minutes, 80 minutes, 70 minutes of a sport, and like, you know, whistle blows 45 minutes later, whistle blows again for halftime, with, you know, 45 minutes after that, like whistle blows again for full time, no breaks or anything, you know. So it was always kind of hard for us as well, because it was these like late night shows for us to go to watch, like a game. You're talking a game, American football game for us could start at like 11, 12 a.m. And then like you're talking like 4 a.m. in the morning, this game is finishing up. Like, so it was pretty tough for us to kind of fully watch it. But yeah, always so interested in all those like ridiculous plays and stuff that you were getting. I suppose as well for me, like the Madden NFL games, like always into those guys. They were so cool. Donovan McNabb, I think I had him. I think he was the 2006 Madden cover. And like that was it. Like those games were just insane. I was just playing it earlier on as well tonight, the 21 version. But yeah, it's just so cool. And yeah, and as DJ said as well, like kind of nearly being reinvigorated with it in terms of watching shows like Friday Night Lights, Last Chance U. Like that show's insane on Netflix. And QB1 as well. Those shows have been really good and have brought it back. So yeah, I've always had like that kind of like fleeting nature of watching American football, and it's always been like such a great thing to watch when you do get a chance to watch it. And yeah, Jose, I'd love to hear, because you've obviously, like, it's going to be your main sport. Like, so when did you get into it, and was it like? Is it your number one sport?
It is my number one sport. It's the one, if I were to say like what, if I were to rank the sports off of just how much I like them, it might not be at the top, but because of the way the NFL is structured, where it is the regular season, 16 games. Yeah. So it always feels like every single game matters and stuff. It's the only sport where I'll watch, you know, until I started working Sundays about a year or two ago, I watched every single game every year. Like I would just sit down and watch football all day Sunday, and then night Monday and night Thursday. I love the sport, man. My history with it is actually not as long as you might think. I kind of come from a football family. I am the only one of the boys in my family who did not play football, or at least try it. I was kind of unlucky in my growing. I was like one of the smallest kids in my class all the way up until high school and stuff. So I was just like not signing up for a thing where people could hit me, and very much didn't really get into sports until I started getting out of around high school, around the time I was like 18 or stuff, and you know, becoming an adult. When you know, it was always like watching football with my brothers and my dad and stuff, and it was like, I don't really understand what's going on. It's the rules are actually like deceptively complicated.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell what's going on if you're not familiar. Like, it looks like half the guys on the field aren't doing anything. And so it took me a while to like really like sit down with my brother and like having him explain stuff to me, cause he's a football coach now and stuff. And, when the Seahawks, around like 2012 or so, right when I was getting out of high school, they put together this amazing defense, and they had some my favorite football player of all time, Marshawn Lynch, was there. And that's really when I started taking interest, because that was a team that was doing things in a way that like kind of hadn't really been discussed before in the sport. Like, they were sort of intentionally trying to test the limits of certain rules in the sport. You know, the defensive backs covering the receivers were sort of like, okay, so they're not going to call me holding his jersey on every single play. So like, how often can I get away with that? You know, and then sort of understanding my brother being a middle linebacker when he played in high school and stuff, like we had, you know, the best middle linebacker of the last like 10 years in Bobby Wagner, and him explaining to me like, you don't understand, like, when this play starts and he's here and he comes across the field in this way in zone and he switches over into man covers to man up his guy, like, him explaining these really complicated things to me, it's like, wow, this sport's really, really deep. And that sort of led to me really, really trying to understand this sport that I kind of got a late start on. And it's that's definitely just kind of turned into a passion for me where, like, yeah, I love baseball. I go to, obviously because of lockdown and whatnot, I haven't been able to go to a baseball game, but I'll go to like 8 baseball games a year sometimes. And I love tennis. I watch every single major, but nothing really grabs me the way that football does, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. It's cool what you're saying there about like having your brother explain the plays and like all the kind of tactics around it, because it's still something that I, even playing Madden, where I'm like, what the hell am I doing defense wise here? I'm like, I'll just fucking throw cover 3 or something onto this. It'll be safe enough, you know? So yeah, it's something that I always struggle with, and it's great when you see like where Madden just absolutely dumbs it down for you and goes, oh yeah, just run into the green bit here and you'll be fine. So yeah, no, it's something that, cause I suppose like comparably for us, over here, quite a technical sport on the kind of same level would be rugby. And again, like you have like all those breakdowns and the plays, and you know, it's very technical about like the different aspects of it. And like, you know, each, like we'd have kind of forwards and backs, which would be kind of like your offense and defense, except they're all playing at the one time. But they, you know, like they all have like completely different roles in how they play. So it's again, like, and even in terms of the rules and stuff like that, what you can get away with, what you can't get away with. Like, it's taken me so long to actually like get the rules of rugby into my head. So I actually probably have absolutely no chance of getting the rules of American football. I always think as well, like when I'm looking at the show, like those shows like Last Chance U and QB1, I'm like, those, like these guys are kids and they're like being absolutely drilled into them. These, like, you know, the code words, like the roots, the audibles, everything that they have, that they're able to run through. And I'm so impressed with that. Like although like looking at Last Chance U, like those guys are failing school completely, but like their knowledge base of the game is insane. Like I'd say you're so impressed with your brother as well. Is it like for like his knowledge base of it?
Absolutely, man. Like, you know, he's one of those guys where every time I talk to him about it and stuff, I kind of learn something about the sport because, and he's also just like, one thing that's really hard about the sport is that there are definitely like sort of strategies people really lean into. And so at the younger levels, you'll see a lot of coaches who are like, this is how we played football when I was young. That's what we're going to do the entire time. Like, we're running the ball or we're doing no huddle and stuff. One thing that really impresses me about my brother is he's always trying to stay ahead of the thing that he was doing before. Like, he's talking to other coaches. He's learning, like, okay, why does the no huddle not work when we're playing against these type of teams, right? What can we do to sort of change up our game plan for the next year and stuff? So, like, when we're watching the Super Bowl and, you know, people think that it's very easy to just look at what happened in the Super Bowl, right? Patrick Mahomes is getting rushed all the time. His guys aren't getting open. They're dropping balls all the time. That's what happened to the game. And then he goes, well, no, what you're actually seeing here is, you know, it's very complicated. The Tyreek Hill's so fast. What they're doing is they're bracketing him up top. And so they are playing sort of a you know, man up coverage in the back of the, in the top of the field, but then they're covering up zones in the bottom. So they're mixing these two defensive concepts to break this really offensive team. I'm like, man, how do you see that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. How do you see it? How do you see, like, even with Madden, like having like circles and like zonal coverage and everything on the pitch. Like, I can't even see, like, even like they do about like 20 tutorials and they're like, okay, they're in cover 2. And then you're like, how do you know they're in cover 2? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what's going on here. Like, you know, but it's so impressive. Like, I think
as well, Jose, like, I suppose sometimes here on our coverage, we would have like, you know, whatever pundits the UK broadcasting service are putting on. And it might be just some some guy who was on special teams for the Eagles in like the 90s and that, not to dismiss that or anything, but there are times then where, you know, we'll watch it and we'll actually get the American coverage. And I find, you know, you listen to when John Gruden was on the commentary, and he would explain and do the and run through plays that had happened in the first half during the second half and when there was a break. Or Tony Romo, who's been like a revelation since he's gone into commentary, like, you know, he probably should have never played the game, just commentated. You know, he'd be in the Hall of Fame if he just commentated the whole time. But you know, and I think seeing people who understand this incredibly technical, complex aspect of a sport, of a very physical sport. And I think it's this brilliant mix of mind and matter in terms of like the body being the matter, where like there is an absolute insane physicality associated with the sport. But like the amount of the quick decisions, the amount of information that these players process per second is like mind blowing. And when you see it broken down frame by frame by someone like Tony Romo, who's played at the top level, or John Gruden, or I always think as well, Chris Carter was on, used to be on the American broadcast as well. He played with the Vikings, so someone that was good to play with the Vikings. And I found, like, as like a very casual observer, when I got to see those insights, it was just, they were able to explain it at a really simple level, so that I could actually say, oh, actually, I understand what's going on now. I have some sort of insight. I suppose, like, and I know we're here to talk about FCF, but just before we get onto it, I'd just love to know your insight in terms of, like, you know, shows like Last Chance U and The Guys Are Failing School. Does, like, almost the, like, you know, the dichotomy of the education system versus how complex these guys and their understanding of the sport is. Is it just the fact that they're so interested in the sport that have, if they apply themselves, you know, they're actually not stupid people. It's just that their absolute passion in life is this sporting area. So obviously their academics is going to suffer. So when you see the complexity explained by people who've played at the top level, you know, are these people, is it unfair to cast these athletes as, you know, just dumb jocks, I suppose?
You know, I think it definitely is an unfair characterization, one that, like, I've definitely fallen into myself being when I was younger and stuff. It's sort of one of those things where, like, you can tell it with just any smart person that you know, right? Where they're smart about specific things. There are very few people who are able to just be super educated on every single topic, right? These guys at a very young age were introduced to this sport and they got immersed into it and stuff. And maybe if things had gone differently, maybe they could have gotten into computers or whatever. And that, you know, it takes a work ethic to really build that knowledge base of what you're doing and stuff, and to care about it, and to hit that level of being able to play at a decent college, you know. So I think that it is one of the things. It's just they're passionate about the sport, and it's what they know, so they're able to build on top of what they, you know, what they started with. And so, yeah, I think if you took a lot of these guys and they got a different interest when they were younger, you know, I don't think that they would be having problems with school.
Yeah. And also, you have to be so impressed with these guys' resilience. Like, you have these coaches just like roaring at them, like just calling them idiots, you drop the ball, like laps, everything, like every single week, like, you know, just roaring abuse. And like these guys are just like, okay, next play. Just, it's insane. Like, you know, I think I would have crumbled in that situation. There's no way I would have the mental resilience to be able to cope with that level of like abuse and intensity that they get. And I'd say like they make amazing leaders and stuff afterwards. Like, obviously they do, like in terms of like the quarterbacks and stuff that have come through, like all levels of the game. Like, you know, it's an amazing feat. But so we've talked about American football there, and we've all given our history and stuff of it, but now out with the old and in with the new, the FCF, right? Jose, like, what is it? You give us the breakdown, give us the pitch of what the FCF is. Why should people watch it?
So the FCF at its basic, right, is fan-controlled football. So the idea is that you are the one who's calling the shots for your team. Every single week, the players are not signed to the teams. The players are signed to the league, and we go through and we draft and we build a roster every week. And so you're improving your team every week. You're trying different things out every week. When they get out on the field to play, you're the one who are calling the plays on offense, right? You get to decide, hey, we got a quarterback with a great arm. We're going to throw the ball here. Or, oh, we got this awesome running back. We're going to run here. And it builds your dedication to the team in a totally different way than you would watching just a regular sport, not even just regular football, right? Because you are involved in the decisions. You're not, you know, just hoping your guys do good. You get to be part of them doing good. You get to actually be part of the team. That's one of the things that drew me to it so early on, right? And a lot of people are skeptical about that idea, right? They're like, oh, well, the fans are just going to call bad plays. Or, you know, oh, you can't trust the fans to, you know, make the correct decisions if they haven't played the game before. They don't know the game super well. And there are some safety mechanisms in place to kind of prevent things from going astray, right? Everything is built out of the same playbook. And the coaches get to sort of design what they want to be doing with for the week. They get to just select the plays from the book that they kind of want to run. And then the fans are just essentially the coordinators. They're going out there and they're calling each individual down, but you're not designing plays. You're just using what's given to you. I think it's super interesting. And we're getting on to week two tomorrow. Week one, I think, was a huge success.
Oh my God. So good. Oh my God. Like, you couldn't have written two better games than those. Like, they were so good. Absolutely. Like, so much drama, everything in them. It was amazing.
First one was very much more of your standard football game, going out there, you know, second half pounding the rock, killing the clock, doing all the little things that you like about football. And then the second game was just an offensive powerhouse, throwing down the field on every single play, coming down to the very last play with some amazing athletics and stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah, so good. So I suppose as well, to kind of also add to the FCF and kind of what it is, so your normal American football field is 100 yards. This is a 50-yard pitch, yeah? What's the width then? It's like, it's like probably, is it half as wide?
It's not half as wide. I want to say it's like 30 yards across. I'm not 100% sure about that.
Yeah.
Then the other big difference would be that instead of 11 guys on each side of the ball, we have seven.
We have seven, yeah. So there's also no field goals, there's no kickoff, and there's no conversions. There is a two-point conversion after a touchdown, and it's done by a one-on-one with your quarterback throwing to a receiver and defender then trying to block it. So yeah,
can I come in on a two-point conversion? Because I watched the highlights of Aces Wild versus the Glacier Boys during the week, and I love the fact that they have this, that the quarterback gets the ball for the two-point conversion, and it's some fella placing it on the stool I used to sit on when my grandmother cut my hair. I love the fact that it's that stool. And then they're just taking the ball off and going.
It's so funny, like this like amazing, like this amazing arena, all these screens all over the place, drones like flying around recording the whole thing. And then this tiny little stool then, like,
and the stool made it for me. Like, I hope to never replace the stool with the robotic, like,
they need to brand that stool, like,
or something, like, you know. Yeah. Like, we are advocates of the stool. But I actually watched the highlights of Aces Wild, which is our
Wild Aces, man.
Your podcast, so is it? Sorry, I'm plugging the podcast mad here, aren't I?
I love it.
Great. It's so, can I just say, like, in terms of naming a podcast, what a brilliant name for a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Wild Aces against the Glacier Boys, and
fuck the Glacier Boys.
Yeah, fucking. And Richard Sherman owns the Glacier Boys. Is that right?
Yes.
Who, notoriously one of the biggest pricks around, isn't he? Like, at least last week anyway. And I watched the highlights, and it was just pure unadulterated escapism, which, you know, right now is ideal when we have no fucking outlets in the world. But I have to say that it was thoroughly enjoyable. Like, it's almost as if you've crammed the best parts about American football into, like, you've basically made it all action. And also you've this, like, I can't wait to be able to watch it live when I get a chance, because you've got this, like, you know, very immersive way of sucking the consumer in. And I think as well, what's genius about it, like, I know, Jose, you were saying that people were skeptical about whether it would work and how it worked. But at the end of the day, like, all sport is entertainment. And with novel media, and, like, people have shorter attention spans than they used to have, you have to keep people engaged. And I think it's, like, it's an incredible concept to keep people engaged, keep people engaged, because fuck it, like, you know, I find myself watching sport sometimes because I'm so used to just, like, social media and that, like, you know, non-immersive lifestyle now, that, like, you know, I'll be watching a game and I'll fucking tune out and I'll miss something. But if I feel I'm involved in calling the plays, like, I do not want to miss a play. You know, I want to be in every single second. So it's fascinating to me. And yeah, like you said, your favorite player is Marshawn Lynch. I think he's involved in owning a team as well.
The beast, is he?
So
yes,
yeah,
the beast, yeah. So there's some high profile people involved in this, including, like, I noticed one of my favorite, like, Jose, two of my brothers are like massive American football fans, like, obsessed, that they do, like, their own draft scouting. They absolutely love college football as well. So they follow college football. That's how crazy they are about American football. And one of my brothers is a huge Texas A&M fan, like, loves Texas A&M. So obviously FCF have a fairly well-known footballer who went to Texas A&M playing at the moment as well. So I suppose, how much of a coup is it for FCF to have somebody with the profile of Johnny Manziel playing?
Johnny Manziel was such a good sign for them, even if, I mean, he could have gone out, immediately thrown an interception and been pulled from the game, and it still would have been a smart signing for them. Because, you know, I have friends who know that I'm doing the podcast and stuff, but they're not 100% sold on the league. But Saturday night, SportsCenter is putting out the Johnny Manziel run on the field, because he's such a character. He's one of those people that, in America, if you follow sports even remotely, you know who Johnny Manziel is. This was just huge headline grabbers for the league. More than getting Richard Sherman or Marshawn Lynch into the ownership groups, getting this guy who hasn't played in a couple of years, and when he did play, it was in Canada and stuff, having him come back is, like, guaranteed viewership. And more than just getting people viewing this dream, sharing it on social media, sharing it on ESPN and stuff, these big networks. Such a huge get for them.
So Johnny Manziel, he was Cleveland Browns, what, number two quarterback, was it? Like, in back 2015, 2016?
He was the starting quarterback for, I think, 2 years he made it, maybe a year and a half. He was, I mean, so if you're not familiar with sort of college sports in America, the Alabama football team in America is one of the most dominant sports forces in the history of all of sports. For like 20 years, this team has been consistently winning championships, or just, like, you know, just that close to winning a championship. They're always good. They always get the best players. It's, like, not even close because of the way the college structure is. So when Johnny Manziel was in his senior year at Texas A&M, they came in as massive underdogs against Alabama in the championship, and just, you know, and they didn't blow him out, but it was in just a huge, just impressive win over them. And so he was, like, this massive draft prospect. Everybody thought he was going to come in. A lot of teams wanted him. The Browns ended up getting him. He was decent, I guess, sort of a replacement level quarterback. He had some off-field issues, though. He was known to go out partying all the time. He was not a very pleasant person to talk to if you were a media personality, and he, you know, was out of the league pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
no.
Yeah. So he'd be good on a few pints into him, maybe. But yeah, no, I suppose just to like touch back to what you were saying there about like, you know, so the FCF, it's hosted on Twitch, which is like predominantly known as like a streaming platform, mainly for people, for guys who are playing like video games and stuff. But the FCF have like taken over or have created their channel for this and like have made so much interactivity with it. And then also with their site as well, like you can vote, like you actually, as you said, Jose, like you actually feel like an owner throughout the whole thing. Like with the Wild, like I joined up with the Wild Aces from the start, but actually I joined up with Team Kind of Funny from the start. And then you chose the name of the team, you chose the jerseys, you chose, then you chose the rules we were gonna do in the league. So we chose, say, there is one foot in touch for a catch. So like college rules. What else? There's mad rules about like voting and stuff.
Oh yeah, playoff seeding rules, all sorts of stuff.
Oh yeah,
anything that was sort of kind of not 100% written in the rules of football, we got to sort of bend them a little bit and create some fun stuff.
Yeah, and it just expands. It expands every week, and like, you know, with the draft as well, you're voting, who's your franchise tag, who's like, who are you drafting this week, you know, and it creates such a great community. And I suppose like, because the team is changing every week and the players are changing from team to team every week, that like you're actually just becoming involved in the franchise, you're becoming involved in like that team. And you know, you feel so involved in all the plays. Like last weekend when those first games, well, for the Wild Aces game we were playing, like you're like, oh my god, like the pressure that's coming on, like, you know. And you know, you're watching several streams at the one time, what's everyone choosing here, you know, what should we do, should we run, should we pass? And it's just such a different experience altogether.
Did you just choose cover two for everything?
No, so defense is chosen already, but you just choose the offensive plays. But oh man, it's so like it looks so, it's so cool. Like, and you even get to choose the 2-point conversion play, like how they're going to run that, like, you know, and how like what way they're going to throw. They're going to throw deep. They're going to, you know, they're going to cut in. It's amazing. Yeah. And like I suppose as well with that, so like Jose, one of the big terms in Ireland is having the crack, and it means like having fun, have like everybody kind of joking with each other, just having a really good time. So I really feel that the Wild Aces really embody this having the crack. And it's like they just embody that virtue for this league, because Greg Miller. So I suppose I better tell the kind of story of Kind of Funny, because our listeners wouldn't know about Kind of Funny at all. So Kind of Funny is a video game, primarily video game podcast, and it's guys who kind of set off is it 6 years ago now?
I think 2015, right?
2015, yeah. They branched away from IGN, which would be like the big, probably like the biggest kind of video gaming news site and review site on the internet. And they branched away from that and they set up their own thing. And these guys are just like, there's just quality. They've just gone from like, they've just gone better and better. And the CEO of Kind of Funny is this guy called Greg Miller. And Greg is just absolutely insane. And he is the leader of the Wild Aces now at the moment. And for like the drafts and stuff, he is just talking shit to all the other owners, just nonstop. And it is absolutely quality. So yeah, Jose, what do you think? Do you think the Wild Aces are the absolute embodiment of the crack? And like, they're just, they just know what they want. They know what they're going out for.
I do, man. If you follow Matt Batson on Twitter, he got to go to the very first game with the Aces, right? They, he's based out of Atlanta. He does a lot of sort of like me or you. He's a kind of funny best friend who's just making content and stuff. And he made this funny video where he, you know, interviewed a Wild Ace player, and it was, he just held a microphone up to a trash can and asked it questions. And it, got, it blew up, got a bunch of likes, retweets, all that stuff. And the league was like, we're playing in Georgia. You're, I mean, Atlanta, you're right here. Come to the game. And then he, so he goes to the game, gets done, and then just walks around the stadium interviewing trash cans, making fun of the owners and stuff. And after the game, he put up a thing. It's like, it's so dumb that Greg bought a football team, decided to turn that football team into the D-Generation X of the league. Yeah. And Greg is Triple H, and he's X-Pac. And I was like, does that make me like the road dog or the ass man? Like, yeah. Like, it's such a weird thing that, like, one, it speaks to like how much fun our team is, where we're just trashing on the other owners, talking crap on Twitter all day. Then we get onto the field, our team is, they score a touchdown and go eat cheeseburgers in the corner and stuff. It's just, it's wild. And it's a direct reflection of like what kind of funny is, and like what me and you love about it probably, right? It's just like these guys hanging out, and they know how to build communities, and they know how to make stuff fun for their fans. And I mean, it's one of those things where it's kind of weird when you think about it. Like in 2014, Greg decided to review Oreos, and now a guy from California and a guy from Ireland are on a podcast talking about a football team.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's expanded so much. But yeah, I think the mayhem that these guys can create is insane. And like, when people start watching the FCF, I would highly recommend backing the Wild Aces. There's just absolute chaos involved in the team. And like Greg Miller, so you have like the guys of like Marshawn Lynch, like Richard Sherman, like owning these teams. And then you have like Greg Miller, this like video games journalist, like who like followed like Mizzou and stuff. And like, he is just talking shit to these guys who've won Super Bowls, like about American football. And it is quality entertainment. DJ, was there any plays that you love from the first two games?
There was a guy, now this will tell you how fucking bad I am. I can't remember if it was a Glacier Boys touchdown or a Wild Aces touchdown, but there was one guy who was turning the corner and did a little bit of a dive for a touchdown. But it was real mad because I didn't feel like he needed to dive, but I loved that he dived anyway.
Way
it's set up, there's this like foam wall so that the players don't croak themselves when they go out over the side. But he kind of dived into the corner of the wall like an idiot. And I really love that play. But I also love the fact that, to me, as a casual fan of football, the Glacier Boys' first touchdown looked to me like his knee was down.
It was down. That was bullshit.
Is that controversial, Jose? How did that go down now? Tony Romo said it shouldn't have counted?
I think it shouldn't have counted. Exactly. It is. So this is one of the weird things where I haven't really gone back and watched the play because, frankly, I don't care. I'm going to say that it wasn't a touchdown no matter what. And we won, so it doesn't matter. But so the difference between college rules and NFL rules is what down by contact is. So when you could try to say that maybe he was sliding down, but when he touches down, he's not technically – in the NFL, it's called down by contact. If you fall to the ground or you knee the ball down – if you're not giving yourself up, you have to be touched to be counted as down, right?
Okay, it's a
contact sport. In college, though, if your knee goes down, leg goes down, whatever, you're done. It's just plays over. So it's debatable whether or not he got touched before and he's down by contact, or, you know, if technically he slid, which I don't know if sliding is a rule in FCF. I haven't dug through the rule book that deeply, but I don't think it was a touchdown. I think he was down.
Yeah, those refs want to open their eyes. They want to fucking get their act together for week two. That's ridiculous.
Oh, and I have a question for Jose, because I see that the Aces Wild Twitter account tends to love a Parks and Rec gif. So I want to know, first of all, I presume, Jose, because you tweet Parks and Rec gifs quite frequently, that you've seen Parks and Rec. So yes, who'd make a better FCF player, Ron Swanson or Andy Dwyer?
Andy Dwyer, probably, right? I think in the show, they say that he's played football before. He's an Indiana Colts fan, so he's definitely knows the sport. He did get to catch a touchdown from Andrew Luck before.
Oh, good shit.
I don't think Ron Swanson would actually be that interested in playing sports, so he might not even, like, he'd suit up and just sit on the sidelines, probably.
Drink a whiskey or something on the sidelines.
Nice little Lagavulin.
Yeah, Lagavulin whiskey.
I mean, I would have said the correct answer was Burt Macklin, but what do I know?
Burt Macklin, FBI.
Also to say that, like, the Wild Aces, they're like, their fans, like outshine all the other fans in the league by so much. It's crazy. Like, all the polls that come out, you just see, it's just like, you know, like, oh, who's going to win this weekend or whatever? And it's just like 92% Wild Aces. Yep. And then just like, you know, 2% for the rest of the guys. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely the engaged fan base.
Exactly, yeah. Actually, what did you think, man, of the camera work? That needs a bit of work, I think, for...
It does. It was really bad.
Fuck's sake. Like, having Marshawn Lynch on the screen for, like... Oh, like there was the 2-point conversion was missed, and like there was like I think a touchdown was missed by Wild Aces as well. Like, it was
it's one of those things where this is, you know, they're calling this like the beta test of a season, right? They're going out there and this is like really proof of concept. This is what we're doing and all that stuff. And they have a lot of, they're experimenting with some camera angles that with the drone cams and stuff that they're not, you know, 100% nailing. And
yeah,
it's, I hope that they, you know, they're learning from what they're doing. They're going back just as, you know, the players do, right? When you go back and you watch your tape and you learn what you did wrong last time, I hope these production guys are watching the games back and being like, man, when the quarterback scrambles, you cannot see shit. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, like, I think like the drone thing is quite cool, and like the way they have it done, and like, as soon as I saw that, like, as soon as there's a bit of a scramble, you can't see a thing, or like, you know, as soon as even if the quarterback like just steps like slightly back out of the pocket, like, because the pitch is like so, like, it's the 50 yards, but there's not much space at either end. It's blocked off. So like, there's actually not much room for a drone to even move. So like, the angles are cut anyway, but and I didn't mind that, but it was that Marshawn Lynch thing where he was just like on the screen for so fucking long.
There was
ridiculous.
That part of the game where they had Marshawn up here on the screen and they had Richard Sherman here, and like,
yeah,
this tiny little like stamp of the game that you could see. It was really, really annoying.
Yeah.
But they should be getting better at it. I would expect, I mean, we just saw with the draft compared to week one to week two, how quick the timing was sped up, how quickly they got through picks. I think they almost cut the time like damn near in half. So I think when we go here tomorrow into week two, we're going to see a pretty big improvement over the cameras, over the play clock, all that stuff.
Jose, actually, before we wrap up, I don't know why I called a wrap up. This conversation is too good. I don't know what I'm calling for.
Not all day, man. It's only 3 o'clock here.
Here we go. We're the guys who need to go to bed. No, not really. Is there any plays from the... What was your favorite play from the first week?
I mean, it would probably be that touchdown at the end of the half, because I really didn't think that we were going to score there.
No.
I was panicking for a number of reasons, right? Because our quarterback, Jackson, separated his shoulder on our very first drive. Yeah, so Jackson got hurt on our very first drive. Ed Crouch, who we thought was going to maybe play two drives in the game, has to play the entire game. And, you know, we're at a position where we're down a score going into the second half and we get the ball back. So it's really, really important to score in those positions, because once we get the ball back, we just go score on them twice and it's hard to come back from that kind of a momentum shift, right? So we're sitting there, we can't move the ball. Ed's doing his best, throwing it away when he has to, staying out of the pressure situations, not wanting to take off and run because that will drain the clock too much for us to actually be able to have time to score. So he's evasive in the pocket. He's getting away from guys, but still trying to make throws, which was super impressive in my opinion.
Yeah.
But eventually it's like 1 second left on the clock. He throws a dart into the end zone. Jerry Houston just like snatches it out of nowhere. It really looked like Ed was throwing the ball away. I was like, he threw the ball like at the back of the end zone. I was like, damn, we might lose this game. And then it was just like, oh wow, he actually caught that ball. That's insane. Like I was jumping up and down, screaming here, looking like an idiot.
So good, yeah. I actually love two plays from the Zappers and Bees game. So I love that Johnny Manziel, that first run. That was so good. Just a little pirouette he does at the end to just like burst out. That is class. And then the last, so these are both non-touchdown plays, but like that last play of the game where like that dive where he just gets smashed.
You love a dive from the 5 yard line. Oh, he knows he's not going to get there.
He knows he's not going to get there. Like there's two guys just coming right at him and he gets absolutely smashed. But I love the enthusiasm for it. It was so good. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna wrap it up here. We're gonna have a few cans after this, and we're gonna keep the chats going. But Jose, thanks a million.
I'm gonna pester Jose to come back for an end of season review.
Yeah, hey, man, exactly.
I'll come on whenever you guys want me. Man, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, good stuff, man.
The end of season review. You need to be like 3 beers in before we start.
Yeah. You need to come on tanked. So yeah, thanks a million, Jose. If anybody wants to check out your podcast, where do they find you?
Easiest thing to do is follow me on Twitter at @AcesWildPod. You can also we're on every single major podcast service. So just go in, search Aces Wild and sub. We've got some great episodes with Greg Miller. If you want to learn more about Kind of Funny and the how they came to own a football team, we have interviews with players almost every single week. So you can get to know those guys. Check those things out, man.
Yeah, I can highly, highly recommend it. It's great and some great insights. And actually, like your brother gives some like really great basic explainers of insights into the game. I've really, really enjoyed all of those insights. So thanks a million, guys, for listening to us. You can catch us on Snowcast. We're Snowcast on Twitter, or at Snowcast on Twitter, Instagram. You can email us at thesnowcast@gmail.com. And a big thank you to all of our Patreons as well, patreon.com/snowcast. Really appreciate all your support, guys. So till next week, guys, any parting words?
This is wild. And love getting all the feedback for the chicken fillet roll episode. That was I have to say, like that was lovely during the week, seeing the messages roll in,
roll in. Yes.
What I want this week is, I want two things this week off listeners. I want pictures of your chicken fillet rolls on social media, and I want you to follow Aces Wild on Twitter.
You love it. Okay, my parting words are fuck the Glacier Boys. Right.
So launch it.
See you guys.